Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Ramble.
Welcome to Good Burger, home of the Good Burger. Can I take your order? Who loves orange soda? We love orange soda.
Hell loves orange soda.
Welcome to Guilty Pleasures. Welcome back to the movies.
Yeah. Wait,
this is our back episode?
Hilariously and upsettingly, this is how we decide to come back.
No, it's going to be Freaky Friday. It's going to be last, or this is going to be after Freaky Friday.
Well, never mind.
Never mind.
Thank God.
Happy second week back.
But today we are talking about not Good Burger. Good Burger 2.
Good Burger Dose.
The Dose.
Oh my God.
Sequel 26. No, shut the fuck up.
26 that fucking years. We were 7 years old when
Good
Burger
right now.
Came
ew.
Out.
Ew.
What are you talking about?
You are older than 26. You're 33, Zachary.
That math doesn't work.
It doesn't feel right that we can be 26 years later from anything. Yeah. Right?
from anything that I remember.
We all stopped counting after 2000, right?
Uh-huh.
Like,
sure.
I think that's how that works.
We're having a crisis. I feel the same way.
I didn't think we'd start this episode with, like, ego death, but here we are. I'm losing my sense of self.
Existentialism.
Well, good thing we have this movie to make us feel nice and cozy, right?
yeah, we do. We do have this movie to make us feel great about ourselves.
We've been texting about the movie. We all know how we feel about it.
Oh, yeah.
The feelings are not mutual, and it's going to be a good time.
Yeah, it's going to be a good time.
To set the scene here, Jesus Christ, 26 years ago.
Ew, I hate saying that.
You may know him from Saturday Night Live, but Kenan
Thompson
was part. Kenan Thompson, thank you. Was one half of the greatest comedy duo in children's history. Yeah. Actually, you know what? I'll just say, greatest comedy duo, period.
Yeah.
Fuck you, Abbott and Costello.
Fuck you, Drake and Josh. Fuck you, Will Ferrell, and what's that other guy's name?
John C. Reilly.
Yeah.
John C. Reilly? Yeah. I was thinking Evan Goldberg.
Oh, both.
No, that's Seth Rogen.
Oh, yeah. Those two also. Fuck them.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
Fuck them all.
Fuck them all because Kenan and Kel and walked Kel. So that all y'all motherfuckers could run.
That's very true.
I mean, you kind of had to be there to be to be a kid in the 90s let me take a breath here.
Yeah, you're getting nostalgic.
All that, which was SNL for kids.
Yes.
Yeah.
And sure, I've looked back. And no, it barely holds up. But then it was electric.
It was something that probably was the reason all three of us got into comedy, right?
Yeah, probably, because I didn't know that kids could be funny until this kind of came up and all that kind of came up. And the Amanda Bynes show.
The Amanda show.
You had Kenan and Kel. I mean, just that whole cast was so electric. Kenan was on all that. I don't believe Kel was.
But then
they spun off. They did Kenan and Kel. It was a hit show.
Huge hit.
Full of catchphrases. You, of course, had the iconic, "Who loves orange soda?" Kel loves orange soda. And by the way,
do,
as a kid,
I do.
Forgot about that part.
Yeah, you guys.
I did forget about that part. I loved orange soda because of that.
Because it
made me go like, orange soda should be part of my identity.
My mom had to keep Sunkiss out of the refrigerator. She had to hide it because I would drink it in one go. The entire pack of orange soda.
It really was like. These two guys live in such deep parts of our brain that are responsible for teaching us like good comedic timing, the power of like a straight man and a chaos man, like short. It really, if you are of our age, you understand the feeling. But if you are younger than us, maybe Gen Z, I can't tell you how big of a deal like this show was for people, this duo.
Basically, whenever anybody sees like anybody from the millennial group sees anybody in Gen Z dressing, you're like, oh, you're doing Kenan and Kel or Fast and Furious.
Streetwear is Kenan and Kel.
It's all them. It's all early 90s Nickelodeon kids.
It's interesting because of the success that Kenan had in going
Let's
to SNL. I haven't heard him reflect on this.
I know. You want me to tell you?
Okay.
Okay, so Kenan and Kel, most iconic.
Are you
going to
upset
time.
Me from the beginning?
Probably.
Should we save it?
I think this is an important part.
This is I think this is like the bookend fun fact.
No. See, I think this is important.
This is context.
This is context.
Well, okay. Before you give the context,
wait,
then I'll say
my... Wait,
is
this the right time to use the word canon?
No, canon.
I still never understand that word.
No, it's not.
No.
But because I can guess where this context is going. Okay. So the pain that we have had as a people is that we've seen Kenan's success and we've gone, what about Kel?
What happened to Kel?
What about Kel? Because you look back and you go, what? Like, I don't know how two young men could have such a polished comedic repertoire together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How, like, who taught them? Who instructed them? How did they know the goal that they had? Mm-hmm. But then when you saw Kenan go on SNL, you're like, okay, well, surely Kel's going to be. I mean, Kel was always the rock star. He was the comedic dynamo.
Yeah.
Of course, Kenan had Jacques something, like the little bathtub sketch.
In the bathtub. But, rubber ducky.
But he was the straight man.
Yeah.
And so you're like, well, Kel, that's the most gifted comedic actor of our generation.
Jack, you're telling the story. You're like, literally, like, I'm surprised you haven't realized what you're even saying. Like, that's exactly what happened. It's Kel was the fucking star of Kenan and Kel. Mm-hmm. And you have to remember, this is the early 90s. So Kenan was in a larger body. He was not like the hot, you know, quote unquote, hot one back in the day. They were teenagers, right? Like, they were 16 when they did Kenan and Kel.
Did they fall out?
So when they auditioned for SNL, they auditioned together.
Oh, no.
Kenan made it and Kel didn't. Now, here's the thing. You would think, so what? Kenan gets a job. Kel goes on to do this, that, and the other, right? Kenan finally started to get a taste of fame, wanted nothing to do with Kel.
Yep.
Wow.
So Kel, on his own, was not booking things. He wasn't getting gigs. His wife cheated on him. It was a big scandal. It was this whole thing.
Yeah.
We then watched Kenan hit 21 seasons of SNL.
The most tenured player
richest, on SNL.
Right? Like, he's got to be out of all the SNL
employees. I'd say the ones who are movie stars.
No. I'm saying that he's still at SNL. Like, he's got to be the highest paid next to Lorne Michaels, is what I think.
Probably.
And
they're probably asking him to take over that type of show.
I think there was a full circle, right? Like, Kenan then went the full spectrum of what you can do with fame. The money, the partying. I'm sure he got everything he ever wanted. And it still came back to when he would go out, people probably would say, God, I fucking loved you and Kenan and Kel. Like, ah, man, you ever going to do Kenan and Kel again? He realized that his ego, he had been through the whole cycle and he was ready to accept.
And that's what this movie is.
As you can see, Kenan made this whole movie happen. Yeah. So that Kel could have his moment again. I think it's weirdly like a beautiful apology / like platforming of Kel again.
I think it's really lame to try and shun your former success and be like, I'm not that person.
Yeah.
I fuck you. Like, people love the thing that you did. That's great. And hopefully you will continue to make stuff that they love in the future. It saddens me, but I guess it's expected.
This is all alleged. I stand by none of it. This is all TikTok fodder. But I do think it's the earth is healing now that Kenan and Kel are back on air together. That's all I have to say.
Okay.
So that brings us to this movie.
<It's debatable. laughs>
I mean, there was the moment. Was it at the Oscars or something where like they like dapped up and it was like, ah, this
they're
feels
back.
Good.
Yeah,
we're back, baby.
Yeah.
And so it brings us to this movie. Good Burger 2. And I will tell you.
Go ahead.
I would have been okay with them staying split up.
I'm very, very okay with them being split up. I'm very okay with them being, as far as humanly possible, But it also, maybe if they came back together, it wasn't in this capacity.
Boo! Boo!
I love that you loved this, Kelsey. Yeah,
yeah, okay, yeah. These fucking ding-dongs. I'm the one who suggested this movie. I'll take the credit. Thank you very much.
Yeah, so you do the synopsis.
You're fucking welcome.
You do
the synopsis. Guess what? It's Good Burger, the original, but it's all over again. It's they're grown up and they got to save Good Burger. Can they do it? Kel's being Ed, the crazy cashier, and Kenan is being... Ed and Dex.
Dex.
Yeah. Dex, the scheming entrepreneur who's always got money on the mind, willing to dick over his friends to get rich trying. This is Good Burger too. These ding dongs were texting me in our group chat, being like, Kelsey, fuck you.
Yeah,
fuck you. No, true. Dumb
no,
bitch.
No.
We fucking hate you.
That was the spirit
You're
of
never
it.
Never picking the movie ever yeah, again. Ever and again. I'm going, oh my God, this got. They're putting so much marketing behind this. They must really fucking hate it. This must be so bad. I have never disagreed more about a movie in my life. This is me. And for listeners who aren't watching this, I'm going to describe to you.
She is opening her mouth in glee,
screaming.
Hands outstretched. She's kind of Macaulay Culkin-ing her hands on her face. She's crying tears of happiness. She can't believe. It's almost as like she's seeing little cartoon birds flying
yeah,
around.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. She's in wonder right now. She's seeing several rainbows.
You really?
I'm on Molly.
Tell me all about it.
Yeah. I want to hear the joy from your perspective. Okay. What are you loving about it?
Did you like the original movie? Were you obsessed with it as a kid?
I barely remember it. I think that's what it is. That might be the problem.
The original...
Well, can I also say, Kelsey wanted us to do a double feature for one episode, and I'm like, no. I'm doing one burger.
It is called a cult classic for a reason.
I would love to rewatch it.
The reason why we invented this show was for cult classic, Good Burger-esque shows.
Yeah.
It's a 90s... wild, oversaturated, fish-eyed lens, sketch, laugh, goof, fucking sound effects where they don't belong, guys swimming in a fucking strawberry milkshake machine and calling it the strawberry jacuzzi, and it melts your heart thinking about how many times I've watched that film on VHS as a child.
The orange one.
The orange one.
Oh, yeah, I miss those orange Nickelodeon VHSs.
That's what I remember. They fucking copy pasted, nailed this nostalgia. The tone of the comedy was exactly the same. It knew what it was. This was not a cash grab. This
certainly
was
not.
This was purely for the fucking fans. And I love that they both put their whole pussies into making this. They reached out to every friend.
They put the Kenan and Khaleesi.
How do you think they got all of their friends to do cameos?
Because they were fans. Anyone who ever in the history told Kenan, man, I loved Kenan and Kel, Kenan went file save in my head, and he called in every single favor. The amount of cameos in this movie is astounding.
Yeah. Pete Davidson, Leslie Jones, Mark Cuban, Gronk, Kenan or Kel's two kids.
Rainey, you ready for this? Young Gravy?
Gravy.
Yeah, Young Gravy's Young in there.
He made an appearance?
Liza
Koshy. Do you love Young Gravy?
No.
I'm sorry. Really,
Danny Trachtenberg. Really quick. Laurie Saldana.
Really quick. The only note that I put on this movie, because I was so mad while watching it, was Liza Koshy should be in more things.
Movies,
way more things.
Well, she's a Nick kid. She had a Nickelodeon show.
Yeah, but like even still, she should.
She's too good of an actress for the small role that she has in this.
Yeah.
And you can tell, like, because she hasn't. She's. Like a duo with, I forget the name, but it's one of the new young guys on SNL. And she is acting circles around him in a way that it's honestly distracting for how small of a role she has. Yeah. And it also showed me, maybe my goal as a YouTuber should not be to try to break it into traditional.
Because I disagree.
You can be as talented as Liza Koshy. And be still, relegated to a bit part
but
in Good
also,
Burger fucking 2.
This was, it definitely felt like, let's just get as many, like, let's just get the gang back together rather than actually, because there's so many good performances in this.
Yes.
Like, it is a shit ton of phenomenal performances thrown at like an absolute dog shit piece of writing.
But that's what sketch is, like, in a way. Like, sketch isn't that's... pure comedy, funny. Like, it's a system. It's buttons. It's little moments. And I think the reason why the cameos worked, because all of those cameos could have been really fucking cheap and really fucking annoying. We could have been like, oh my God, another one. I think why it was good was because every cameo played small. They weren't this big caricature.
Every
of
cameo
themselves.
Or most cameos were people playing an extremely silly version of themselves or a huge character.
Yeah.
Oh my God, I forgot Carmen Electra's in this.
She was in the original.
She was the baddie in the original.
There are so many moments in this movie where they are hearkening back to lore as if. I remember.
It was 26 years ago.
But don't you? Like, when he went blibbity, 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 weren't you like, oh, yeah, blibbity, blibbity,
and I'm
blibbity.
Like, barely, I'm like,
there's one part where he, so Keenan, in the beginning of the movie, down on his luck, he literally has burned his life away. He lights a house on fire, and he takes out an old dusty yo-yo, and he wipes it off, and it's like, shing, like an Indiana Jones relic.
Yeah.
And I'm like, am I supposed to remember this fucking
yo-yo?
Yeah. It's so funny that this movie literally called everyone out on their bluff whenever they would come up to Keenan and say, oh my God, I love Good Burger. Good Burger was my favorite movie growing up. And he's like, okay, well, let's all see how much you remember. And then it's none of
maybe
it.
Maybe the yo-yo wasn't in it. Maybe it was just a throwaway line.
That would make me laugh harder.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Yeah.
There was another throw. Did you notice the line when he's like, well, I know we haven't seen each other in a while. And he goes, 5 years, 8 days, 60 minutes. And I go, 5 years? Why would they make it 5 years? And then I was watching some TikTok thing where it was like, oh, they wanted to act like Keenan and Kel had still been friends who just don't see each other as often. But I'm like, bitch, just say it's been 26 years since y'all have talked. That would have kind of been funnier. But they wanted to make sure that we believed them coming back together as best friends. And one of my favorite moments that like called out the time that you're talking about is when Keenan goes back to get a job at Good Burger. They open the freezer and Fez from the original fucking Good Burger and all that is frozen as an adult, and goddamn, he looks fucking good.
I felt really
this is important.
Yeah.
Would we fuck Fez?
Yes.
Wow.
On the record.
Cool.
Yeah.
I felt like a dumb like sci-fi nerd. I was just like, well, actually, if he was cryogenically frozen, he wouldn't age, so I don't understand why he's not a young version. But that bothered me for some dumb reason.
But that's why it made me laugh. Because I was like, they know what they're doing. This whole movie, bringing Lori Beth Dimberg back to play that character
that
she plays.
Funny.
Okay, when you talk about someone who deserved steady work for the last 26 years, the fact that Lori Beth, who was the anchor.
She was, yeah.
And I don't mean she literally was an anchor because she had a new show on all that, but I mean she was like the grounding force that tied. Yeah. She was the superstar.
Yeah, she was.
Obviously, young Amanda Bynes was a superstar, but like Lori Beth.
Yeah, she should have exploded onto the scene.
At the very least.
Maybe, do we know, maybe she didn't want to?
Yeah, maybe, because like,
she like say I was done being actor?
With a lot of the, I mean, a lot of those kids are just so traumatized. And so they have to, you know, deal with it somewhere or another. And sometimes they just walk away. They're just like, I'm fine with it. You guys are all weird.
Is it Dinberg or Lori Beth
Dinberg.
The very least, Lori Beth Dinberg deserved a recurring role in a CBS show.
Yeah.
You're telling me she couldn't have been like one of the buddies on Young Sheldon?
Yeah. Easily.
Come on now.
It just doesn't make sense. Like, let's look at her IMDb. Does she have like a bunch of small roles everywhere? Because if it's a bunch of small roles, she's still trying and people are just not giving her the shot. But if it's none, then yeah, she's done.
Stay tuned for fun facts. Maybe. Okay. So the movie begins and you have a delightful surprise because you get one of our friends.
Yeah.
Single Drunk Female's very own Sophia Black Dahlia.
Yeah, that was a
surprise for you.
I was like, what the fuck? I did the Leo meme. I was like,
did you text her and ask her what the fuck? How'd she get that?
No.
Text her immediately.
I always felt weird because I didn't want her to be like,
know that you watched it.
Yeah.
Well, and it's surprising because the way that she's introduced into the story, I thought that she was going to have a big role or be Keenan's love interest or something.
And it's just the beginning.
But you see, they did play, like, I do like that they were reflective in pieces of the original, right? Like, do you remember Keenan had, like, this love interest?
Kelsey, I remember nothing
of
the
original.
Always
called him out on his shit, and she was kind of, like, a little bit, like, tougher loved on him. And then they brought in this character who was supposed to be his niece, Mia, or whatever. She's, like, that version of him and fills in the blanks of he's been the same shitty person all these years. Like, I thought they did a really good job of giving Easter egg throwbacks to the original that made me go, oh, this is the same fucking movie.
Actually, the writing was excellent. It was. Yeah.
I agree.
Sophia is responsible for one of my biggest laughs in the movie because she's in this first scene. Dex is his big presentation. He has created a fire repellent that you spray houses with and houses will never burn down again. And so he's giving this big presentation and he says basically like, bring out the fire, people. And Sophia does this little waddle dance in the background. And it cracked me up.
Yeah, it's again, a bunch of really good performances.
Yes. So why couldn't you just enjoy that?
Mainly because... Well, for one, I have three cast members from Single Drunk
People. That's right.
Let's spell this out.
Yeah.
So not only do we have Sophia in that scene, but in that scene in the background, did you spy a little familiar face as a firefighter?
Yeah.
Lily Mae Harrington.
The best singer I've ever
heard. The best singer
in
the world.
Incredible singer.
Also a cast member on Single Drunk Female.
Yep. And then later on.
Who?
And then we go, that's pretty crazy.
That's pretty
wild. That two people who play best friends in a TV show are in this scene. And Lily, who's an incredible actress,
says like two, three lines.
She's a firefighter. And they're not even together. It just, that's funny. That's weird. And then I'm watching the movie even more. And I go, that feller looks familiar.
Who? Yeah.
Ricky Velez is in the movie as well. Great stand-up, and he plays
one of the thugs.
Sam's, he plays one of the thugs, and he plays Sam's boyfriend in the second season.
I'm watching it, and I'm like, why do I recognize this guy?
When I saw Ricky, I checked my email to see if I missed something. I was like, did they hit me up to be like, yo, would you want to be in Good Burger 2 or whatever?
They're asking for the whole cast of Single Drunk Female.
And then,
what the fuck? Did you ask them why they were all in it?
I didn't. I
think
them.
This is where
What's
the group thread
you?
Right now.
Yeah.
I literally think, Derek, because you have all their numbers, obviously.
I need to know.
Would it be weird?
No.
Why would it be weird?
I think that you should be like, what weird voodoo had all of you in Good Burger 2?
Yeah.
Because it doesn't make any sense that you would have three stars from a TV show as was it the same casting director? Was it?
Or just phone calls to one person that was like, would you guys come today?
Do you know anyone who's free?
Yeah. Honestly, between that and then like seeing like Lil Rel pop up or like Ron Funches and like it was New York comics. It was LA stand-ups. It was just...
Was it a New York thing? Maybe. I don't
SNL.
Fucking know. No, Lily's in LA. I don't know why I didn't get invited. It hurt my feelings.
To the bottom of it.
It hurt my feelings.
We figured out why.
I was like, I haven't been doing shit this entire time. And nobody even sent me an email.
It's out.
Nobody
we got
reached
it.
Out. Nobody said, hey, I know that this person is available. Would they want to be?
You couldn't watch it objectively after that.
Yeah.
And that's the first 5 minutes.
Maybe. And then also there's the aspect of just like, oh, shit, I wasn't good enough. Like you just come to the realization like, oh, man, I didn't make it enough of an impression.
Damn. No, they had a stacked ass cast. But Keenan apparently was saying in one interview that they asked a ton more people, but with like schedule stuff, he was like, anyone that could do it for scheduling did a favor.
I want to talk a little bit about Keenan and Kel. We talked about them in the show, but now, you know, all these years later, they are both very talented comedic actors.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. And Keenan especially, I think, was overlooked for a long time. He finally, I think, got his flowers over the last couple of years because people were like, well, he's just the straight man on SNL. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But he is the reaction shot that makes everything work.
The thumbnail.
He's what makes everything funny.
Yeah. He's really good at playing people that are characters. So you think like the Steve Harvey, the like Al Roker's, the big personalities. That's when he's always sorry I'm fingering a cupcake right
I
now.
I was watching that and it was hard to not see. She's kind of petting a
I
cupcake
am.
Now.
I just, yeah.
Hey, can I see
I
that cupcake
not.
Real quick?
Hmm?
Can I see that real quick?
No. What, you want me to hand you a cupcake?
Yeah.
What are you going to do with it?
Nothing.
Shove it up his ass.
What are you going to do with it?
I just wanted to see it real quick.
Yeah. He's just taking it away from you.
Oh, no.
There's really, some real good... Keenan has some moments that really made me laugh. There's one specifically where his niece accuses him of, you're just listing business words. And he goes, no, I'm not. Recession.
He's got it.
There's some zingers. And then Kel, really, look, if I were 7...
Yeah.
This would have been the greatest performance that I've ever
seen. Of course.
He picked up right where he left off.
Yeah.
He is... And there's a shamelessness and a fearlessness mm-hmm. to a performance like that mm-hmm. that I don't think I'm capable of.
That's mm-hmm. That's the part that was like jarring for me for a lot of it is that he did pick up where he left off and he did commit to it, and you are watching a 45-year-old man act like a
when he was a teenager.
It's like there wasn't a lot of like evolution to the role and how it was played. Whereas on Keenan's side, there is a shit ton of evolution.
Well, because his character literally changed. His character,
yeah, that's very fair. But it's just like as far as the comedic stylings that we all have as a race of human beings, we have shifted a little
He's
bit.
Frozen in carbonite.
He's frozen in carbonite. From 26 years ago, and you've moved it to now, and you're like, I don't.
I think this needed to happen before he can go be great again.
And that's very fair. Great. Amazing. I would love that. But like, if you watch Jim Carrey as Ace Ventura mm-hmm. versus Jim Carrey as Dr. Eggman now, same guy, same style of comedy, different performance, different, like it's a more evolved performance of silly.
I was about to call him James Carey.
Jamathan.
Mr. Jamathan Carey. He's been acting.
Yeah, exactly.
He hasn't been acting.
That's what I'm saying. That's what the shocking thing is, is that he hasn't been in stuff in a while. And they asked him to pick up the same character. And just like, yeah, I can pick up the same character.
Mm-hmm.
And then you
that.
Do it.
And he fucking did.
And you did it. So like he achieved his goal. But at the same time, I've grown up. I've grown out of this style.
You can't tap into your silly little inner child, 7-year-old Nick cartoons enjoy what it was.
I definitely can, but there is a jarring fact that this is somebody who is older doing this.
Man.
And I'm like,
I had just the time of my fucking life watching this. I wanted to be like with my sister on like a Sunday afternoon. Like I wish I was able to watch this with my friends who like fucking loved it to be able to. I watched it while putting together two cabinets and it made the process more enjoyable.
So with Kel stepping right back into his role, you meet not just him, but his family. He has his daughter, Pickles, who only has 10 toes. Mm-hmm. Another line that really killed me.
That got me.
But you have his son doing a pitch-perfect Kel mm-hmm. impression in a way that was shocking. And I'm mm-hmm. looking at this kid. So I mean, just to paint the scene, you have Kel doing his, what's up, dude? And then he has like a little son who is just as dumb as him. And it's like, you know, two dummies being let loose in a scene. And I'm looking at this kid's face and it is driving me crazy. Did you piece together where you know him from?
No.
I just knew that he was familiar. I forget.
It's Lil Chiron from Moonlight.
Moonlight.
What?
That's
talk
this, so this is
about
where,
range.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
So this is where I'm just like, okay, no, this is people giving their hearts to something that they really, really did love.
And you know, all that is on Netflix.
He wasn't alive.
No. Yeah. It's all that is on Netflix now. And a whole new generation of kids has started to watch it.
It's in the same way that like Billie Eilish loves The Office. And just like, you were like two when that came out.
It just, watching a kid who gave...
an Oscar worthy.
I mean, in one of the most beautiful, heartbreaking movies, go from... Moonlight, a Barry Jenkins masterpiece, to going, whoa, what happens if you try and do soda with the lid from the orange soda?
So funny. I love that.
You do?
No, I don't love the movie. Relax.
I'm hearing you love
calm
lots
down.
Of little parts.
Calm down. I love it as like different, like as a project that people said yes to.
Yeah.
To where I'm like, okay, this is very sweet that a lot of people
you
are.
You would have said yes in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
Well,
because
he didn't want to be left out.
I didn't want to be left out. I have FOMO. But yeah, it's just a really nice thing where people were like, I will make time to be a part of this. Like, what is Mark Cuban doing? And he's like, I don't give a fuck. I love Good Burger. I'll be in Good Burger. Why not?
Yeah. Rob Gronkowski said, I'll give the performance of a lifetime.
Oh, yeah, it's a lot of those. There's just like, I get to fucking be a day player on Good Burger.
They
not?
Do
yeah.
a in the middle, they do a spoof of Gal Gadot's Imagine
song.
God, and
it's so good.
Just every SNL cast member from Keenan's tenure that you can imagine. Maya Rudolph, Andy Samberg, and that's all that I remember from that montage.
I just really remember Chrissy Teigen, Zoe Saldana, Danny Trachtenberg, that was a huge one. The redhead from Nick. But yeah, they were split. Like, see, there were good ones. I thought that was a really funny take on them saying something about pop culture. And then, like, the whole storyline with the artificial robots, which we haven't even gotten into, the third act, like, the whole bringing it all the way back to the first one with Mondo Burger, the villain, Julian Bell.
I think, like, so, like, the main thing that...
You keep just to correct real quick, because you've said it twice now. It's Danny Tamborelli.
Oh, I'm saying Laurie Trachtenberg, which is not right. I'm mixing their two last names.
Danny Trachtenberg, or I'm sorry. Fuck!
Damn it.
Danny Tamborelli, who was another Nickelodeon all-star. Maybe, can I don't know if you guys know how deeply I wanted to be on All That. Not All That. Figure It Out.
Oh! With the giant head and the little head?
And like Lori Beth and Danny Tamborelli were so funny on
that
panel.
That was my dream.
And when I first moved to LA, I was working the ticket counter at a stand-up show. Danny Tamborelli walked in, and it was a big moment for me.
Yeah. Did you say, I wanted to be on Figure It Out?
No,
so
I think I let him have a night. And I let I'm sure he would have loved it, but I just let him be. But Keith apparently knows him, and he's a real nice fella.
Oh, that's nice.
That's good to hear.
Maybe we'll get him on the show
someday. We
should
do a redo of Figure It Out.
Girl, don't even...
Think about it. Doing it here. We have enough people.
Girl, don't even.
Let's do it.
You don't even.
Why not? We're right next to Universal Studios. Girl, it's going to be fun.
Is Summer Sanders available?
You're looking
give her
at
call.
Her, baby.
No, I want Summer.
Oh, okay.
When I was a kid, I've said this story many times, but my dream, I'm six, is that I'm going to be a contestant on Figure It Out. Mm-hmm. I don't have any skills, but I'm going to figure one out. I'm going to get on Figure It Out. They're going to find me so charming that they're going to invite me to be a permanent
cast.
Panel member. Yep. And then Summer and I, despite our difference in ages, we're going to make it work and we're going to fall in love and get married.
Love that.
Yeah. That would have been very illegal for her. But
yeah, super.
But we would have made it work.
My main complaint with the movie, with the film, is that there was no suspension of disbelief for me, because it was in high definition. There's something about like a set, like if you were to see Pee Wee's Playhouse in ultra 4K UHD, you'd be like, "What the fuck is
Barbie?
Going on here?" Yeah,
that
Barbie
tripped me out. With
Barbie fair, but like it's set up for that world, for that like overly bloomed out world.
They should have bumped
specific.
Up the ISO here.
I think they should have lowered it. I think they should have shot it on like VHS. No. On
you
film.
Wanted them to scratch it up. Well, it's
I
funny that you say that.
Put a
that
filter
actually,
on it or something.
It was one of my pleasures, but in a way that was jarring to me. So I'm gonna. I think we're saying the same thing.
Yeah.
The production design in this movie goes
it's
unbelievably
really
hard.
Yeah.
It's
in
really
a way
good.
That is stunning.
Yeah.
But then you're watching it and it's so vibrant and candy colored that it is giving Spy Kids 2.
Yes, exactly. Because even in Barbie, you're watching it and you're like, okay, this is obviously a fantasy world. Mm-hmm. And then when they go to the real world, you're like, oh, okay. So now it's like a little bit more muted and a little bit more regular. And you go back to the fantasy world, it's like, oh, wow, everything's so fantastical. So if you live in that world as it is like a real place, you start to take the people less seriously that are involved in it. And when you're looking at Kenan's character, who is a straight man, he's looking around like, this is all fucking weird. What the hell? Why do you live in a diner? This is weird, dog. And then I literally take all of those feelings and put it on.
So you felt weird.
I felt weird the whole time.
I
get it.
I feel weird watching the Spy Kids movies because it literally gives me a stomachache. The set is just weird.
Yeah. I would have loved for it to just be just taken down a little bit. Put it at 780p or something. I think it would have added some suspension.
You should have just throttled your internet when you watched it.
Yes, yeah, I should have made it a little bit.
Throttle an internet.
Just put a piece of foil over your router. I don't know.
What does that even mean?
And counterpoint to your point, Garrick, there was a scene where everyone danced along to Young Gravy, so that's pretty cool.
I'm gonna watch it now. I'm like, I can't believe they got Gravy.
So by the way, though, the scene is like they sold Good Burger. Spoiler: it's the first act break. They sell Good Burger, and so they're having a whole celebration scene. And there's a wide shot, and I'm like, holy shit, that's like my eye found him in the crowd.
Yeah.
And I
very tall.
Thought for a moment that they had cut his scene, but kept him in the wide,
dead.
Which would have been
so
remarkable.
Funny.
But
I'm hearing a lot of it could have been funny. I thought it was.
Young Gravy being in it. I think he's a good voice actor. I think he's got a
good
voice.
Don't they even say like, oh, an internet sensation, Young Gravy? Like, don't they even call it out or something when they talk to him in the movie?
Okay, did he get canceled or something? Is he all right?
Young Gravy? No. I don't think
he'll never. He's America's sweetheart.
Oh, okay. I don't know anything about him.
Pete Davidson trying to act in the first scene did serve as a jump scare for me. I don't know why, but there was something about, like, Pete Davidson more than any other actor now. That's fucking Pete Davidson.
Yeah, don't try to act anything
Don't
else.
Try and pretend that you are disgruntled customer number one.
Yeah.
You know, so the movie begins, Kel is having this dream sequence, and then he's like, wake up, wake up! And then it's Pete Davidson like, hey man, I've been trying to wake you up for 20, and I'm like, Pete! What are you doing here, man?
Yeah. I will say that Pete Davidson as Mirage in the new Transformers movie, fucking phenomenal.
There's a new Transformers movie?
Yeah, Rise of the Beasts. Came out not a couple
of... Did you like it?
Yeah, I did.
Is he a robot?
He's a robot.
Okay, that I'm down for. It's something about his face.
Yeah, I it's because it's turned into like, oh, that's the guy that fucked Kim Kardashian. You know, sorry. Am I not supposed to?
No, you can say it.
But it is. It's a jarring thing. It's like, oh, this is the most sought after man on the planet.
It is weird that Kanye West dedicated a line to saying to beat Pete Davidson's ass. That is wild.
It's my hero. You know, like that it jumps to those conclusions.
There you go.
Last little pledgy I want to give is Jillian Bell plays the villain in this film.
Great villain.
She's a great villain, and she's just... She's just great.
She's great.
Yeah.
She's always great, and she has never had the true breakout that I think she rightfully deserves.
Mm-hmm. What movie did I fall in love with her?
The marathon one. Beth Runs a Marathon or whatever it's called.
No.
Well, she was great on Workaholics originally.
Jump Street 22
Jump Street.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
She's just so funny in everything that she does. And honestly, a perfect villain, a perfect kids movie villain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I just want more and more and more of her.
I was thinking about her on the way over here too, weirdly, about like her career, because I've read things of hers, I've seen a lot of her stuff. She's played like these really iconic like CD characters in movies or like storylines. Mm-hmm. And I was like, she's probably making good money. She probably like lives in a nice place.
Yeah.
And she's probably like, I made it. Like I've done.
Maybe.
People are like, you should develop your own project. You should be in your own series. And she's probably like, or I could just keep doing acting and comedy and love that.
I think it's the, you know, past lives thing where it's just like, I just need one.
I'm saying, be careful.
Yeah. I'm so sorry.
Hold my knee.
I just need one role where I'm like the star, and I'm just going to catapult into stardom.
Yeah. When I think I also can't remember if it was Britney Runs a Marathon or what the movie was called, but that. Oops. Had the potential to be her breakout, and it just didn't happen.
I think it was
a pandemic movie.
Yeah, it was.
Right.
Yeah. So it just, you know, bad timing. Passion, but that was a good movie.
Yeah.
Low budgie. Yeah.
So not only do you have Kel giving a clinic of 1996 comedy.
Yeah, it was almost like a time capsule of performance.
But you have him giving it twice, thrice, fourth. Because he's a robot.
I just imagine little Stone Zachary in his house talking about the commentary of AI and artificial intelligence that this film tried to weave in. I just thought, he's either going to love this or he's going to hate this. But they just had to put it in there. They had to give like a straight to camera nod saying, robots can't take human beings' jobs because they'll never be as good as human beings are. But burger automation could be a thing. Yeah. Is in this film.
I think it's just nice to talk to a person when they make your food.
Yeah, but they also made the robots of Kel, like in his goofs and his antics and things like that. That's what makes good burger special. It's real Kel.
It's not the face or anything like that. Like you can make an android look like a person. It's having a conversation with a person.
It's getting shaken when you ask for a shake from Kel. It's getting hit with a burger by a tennis racket when you ask if they serve burgers. Yeah. It's the chaos of Kel.
Yeah, the thing about humans is the mistakes. We like the mistakes.
Okay, Garrick providing us with a TikTok quote.
Ooh.
Put something beautiful over that.
To be clear, we're talking about Good Burger 2.
Yeah, we are.
My new favorite film.
Yeah.
I had some fun with it. That said, I did find it hard to finish. I ultimately think that there's something in here about the perils of nostalgia, right? And it is trying to recapture something so many years later. And as I was watching this movie, I like started to have a tailspin of like, oh God, am I... Like, I'm still making a show that I made 10 years ago. It has changed, but if I'm still...
10 years ago?
Yeah, that's when the first Try Guys episode came out.
No, it didn't.
Almost. Oh, 9 years ago, but yeah, 10 years next year.
I refuse to believe that.
And so it definitely, like, there's a necessity of evolution. You cannot try and hold on to things too tight. You can't try and recapture things. You have to change it. But really, this movie is what happens... when it's a Nickelodeon movie. Mm-hmm. And so I was a little confused who it was for.
Because, I thought about this too.
Because it's like kids.
I think it's the adults with kids. There is an adult. There's a clear split between a child story and then an adult story where it's just like there are kids that are dealing with certain things with the adults, like his niece and all of the new people that work at Good Burger. They have their own stories for the kids to track. And then the adults are going on the nostalgia run of all of the different things that are called back from Good Burger and all that.
So let's explore this.
Yeah.
Would we have enjoyed this more if they had aged up the comedy?
Yes.
And then, would Kelsey have gone, well, that's not Good Burger anymore. Right.
Yeah, this is the definition of a motherfucking sequel, okay? Because we try to watch the shit when they grow them up a little bit and they make it a little bit more today.
I don't mean, like, it's darker. I truly just mean, like, they evolved
the comedy.
No, not even raunchier. Just they evolved the comedy style. Like, even if the timing changed a little bit.
But I think it worked because it wasn't like everything else that's out right now. It worked because, like, you wanted to go to your imaginary kid, like, oh my God, you need to watch this. Mm. And your teenage kid being like, oh, this is going to be stupid. And then they start giggling because they haven't seen comedy like this.
Mm.
I think that would be my projection.
I mean, there are bits in this that are so dumb.
Really dumb.
And in a way that, like, yeah, I haven't seen it since I was watching Nickelodeon. They need to get people out of a room, and they drop a fake vial of, like, radioactive goo, and then they use a twin switcheroo to have someone come in with, like, a melted face, and you have Liza Koshy and Michael Longfellow.
Michael Longfellow,
from SNL, and they just start going like, and you're like, oh, this is dumb. I'm just watching people gag and run.
Watching Liza Koshy take a moment to take in what was happening and just be like, no, and like get up and all that shit. It was very, very funny. Like, yeah. All of that shit was, that entire scene was hilarious to me. She should be in more things.
Yes. I agree. She's
but
great
she's
at it.
She's the perfect definition of like the prime example of someone who is capable of crossing both linear and digital success, but still there are going to be linear entertainment folks who don't know or believe in her, which is just fucking wild.
Yeah. And you, I mean, you kind of just have to prove yourself because it's also like an aspect of does she, you know, she has offer only money and but not offer only experience.
Fuck
you, money. Oh, yeah. Like it, she hasn't been in enough like things to where it's just like, oh, okay, yeah, of course. But she's like, I'm not going to run around and audition unless I feel like it.
Can before we go to fun facts, can I say my favorite part about like the whole Good Burger 2 experience?
Yes.
Is
I would love that.
Fuck you.
No, I'm serious. I would love that.
My favorite part, and genuinely, like, if you want something that'll make you feel good because you're a 90s Keenan and Kel fan, watch the promo that they've been doing together around this. Like, ooh. They have hit every fucking circuit to do promos. And the way that, like, Keenan knows his place, the way he watches, like, the way he lets Kel shine. Aww. And, like, it almost, like, I literally almost started to cry in the car watching them because even, like, because I've seen Kel's like social media stuff that he's done, you know, off the side that he's tried to build and stuff. But even him being on like, I don't know which one it was, like Jimmy Fallon or something, wearing like a Givenchy shirt and like a studded leather jacket. And then Keenan had on this like big black leather jacket. And I was just like, you know, Keenan got his stylist to be like, man, we're going to make this fucking promo thing so fun and like big. We're going to go all the way out and I'm going to let him have the experience that I've been so lucky to have for the last 20 years.
I think he genuinely does feel awful.
I think, and when they ask Keenan, whenever they redirect it to Keenan, he always gives it back to Kel. They'll ask Keenan about this, that, and the other, and he'll go, yeah, and you know, it's just the way that Kel used to make me laugh and all that. Like this, whenever he's allowed to just run and do his thing, like we all win. And I was like, he's so media trained and like he doesn't have to do this and he's giving that to Kel and that's what's really made me feel so good
about
it.
It's a pleasure. This movie is the best movie I've ever seen.
Their friendship is healed and that makes me happy.
No, you really, first of all, genuinely, I'm so happy that you liked this because first of all,
you two were miserable.
The episode would have sucked if you didn't. But that story is so sweet.
And just watch like, the little promo.
It makes the whole thing like that is what I took away from watching the movie is like I'm happy they're happy.
That's fair.
That's like okay, so that's the genuine feeling that I had because I was like, I'm watching people have fun on camera even though I'm not having fun because it's like this is cool, like
this is great.
I'm glad that you guys all got to hang out together.
I'm glad they gave us a Good Burger too. I'm glad I was alive long enough, 26 years, to miss it and want it again and enjoy it.
I think nothing better encapsulates them having a great time and everyone else being dragged along than the end credits because they try and do like there's something about Mary or Bollywood. Yeah. Like, remember at the end of There's Something About Mary, they do the why do you build me up? And it shows all the cast and all the crew singing at different parts. Yeah. So here we have them doing a brand new cover of I'm a Dude, She's a Dude, He's a Dude,
We're all dudes.
Yeah. And so you cut to credits start rolling. Kel is in the studio, like fucking jib shot comes into him, like hand on his headphones at the mic, having the time of his fucking life singing. Keenan, he's like, yeah, man, backing up vocals, loving this for you. Cuts to the first cast member. Only one of them is lip syncing. The other one is just kind of like mouthing and nodding along. Crew. barely tolerated.
Yeah, yeah.
You get to like Lil Ray Howery, and he's like, ah, sure, I'll do a snippet of this.
Yeah.
Like, it was just one of those things where they're like, hey, real quick, for socials, we're going to get this. Can you just mouth it? And they're like, what?
It was clearly shot on a different camera, too. Yeah. Yeah. It was like, we're not putting our A-team on this.
Yeah. But I bet, contrary to what that looked like, I bet this set was so fucking fun. There's no way so fun.
Yeah, when they were like fully acting, they were having a good time. Yeah. But I think when they all had to go after, like right after they finished filming, they're like, okay, all right, I got to go back home or I got to go shoot something cool.
Boo, I don't believe it. They all were joyous wonder, rainbows coming out of their buttholes, yeah.
That's a wrap on Rob Gronkowski, everybody.
Thank you guys.
Such an honor to be here.
He jumped
into a private jet and then went back to film ESPN shit.
Do we have any fun facts? We have very few. I have some, I bet.
Okay, here we go.
I've been watching a lot of TikToks for this. Cool.
In March of 2023, Kenan Thompson kept teasing who he wanted as cameos. He was going for one that he did not ultimately get. I keep saying Harry Styles. I just feel like it would be a really big one.
You know who was missing in the cameos? Shaq. Shaq would have, you would think Shaq does everything.
You know who else was missing? Barack Obama. That's someone that Kenan wanted to get.
Oh, Jesus. Okay.
Can you imagine?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
No, you can't.
Yes, I can.
I can't imagine that.
I'd throw my hat in.
Kenan, I'm so glad that you called in every favor you had.
Yeah.
You're not getting Barry in this movie.
Yeah, I think the silliest thing he'll ever do is Between Two Ferns. And then everything else is going to be pretty. Mm-hmm. Barack Obama did Between Two Ferns.
That is, it's so honestly a level of delusion that I'm happy for Kenan that he thinks that was a possibility.
Mm-hmm. I bet you he has his number.
Yeah. I think he definitely would reach out and then he would just say no.
Burger too.
Yeah. Barry's
like,
cool,
shoot it,
man.
Shoot it from your house.
Yeah, on your iPhone.
Yeah. I think he could have gotten him to do the
montage
of the Save the World song, but I don't think that Barack wanted to be tied to that because it's making fun of the pandemic and then it's making fun of celebrities who did it.
They couldn't even get Garrick Bernard in this movie. You think they're gonna get Barack Obama?
Yeah, they couldn't even get your boy in this film.
He was busy, man. He's been booked and busy.
Yeah, it was fucking at the house playing Gran Turismo.
Gail Mitchell says that we've been wanting to do part two since part one. I was very excited to jump back into it to see Ed, you know, owning the place and actually having kids in the film. The fact that he's just wanted this for 20-something years.
What I really wanted is, like, he owned it, and it was... So they, like, this was the thing that was upsetting, is that there were so many different avenues that it could have, like, went down that were, like, that would have been really cool if Ed was very successful and was doing well.
He had millions of dollars in the bank.
Didn't he have... He said he could let him borrow $153.
Yeah, but he didn't say that that's what he had in it. He was saying, like, oh, yeah, I have more money than I could ever imagine. Like and Good Burger was all I care about. And he was saying, I can lend you this many, but it wasn't saying he didn't have money.
He didn't have money.
Cause he had all the sauce. He's rich.
Yeah. I wish it was, it stayed on that. Then.
Maybe that he had like a mansion and was balling.
Yeah. I wish it stayed on like that whole like dynamic of like, you were going to be a loser, but I wound up being the loser.
Mm. The big question. After this reunion, 26 years in the making, are we going to see Kenan and Kel?
We fucking better.
Together again.
For the love of God.
I want it.
Please.
Inject it into my
veins. An interview with Variety, Thompson says that he and Mitchell will, quote, 1,000,000% keep working together.
That's great.
See, that makes me so happy.
He's got to make him a movie or a show or something like that, because even the way that Kenan went down, I feel like they could just...
Get him on a sitcom.
Yeah. Revamp a little sitcom.
Yeah.
Honestly, a sitcom. Do a middle America, like aimed Kenan and Kel for CBS. Like, just
yes,
do
like them as dads trying to raise their kids. I would
get
watch that.
Kel that fucking paycheck, bro.
Yeah.
Another fun fact you missed: Kel's actual kids were two of the youngest kids. That was like Pickles and Mustard. Those are his actual kids.
So you were doing a lot of TikTok deep dive on this movie.
Yeah, what are the deep dives? What are the Ocean Gates?
I'm trying to remember. I was trying to remember like more Easter eggs, but I think we talked a lot about all of them.
One person who did not reprise their role in this film, co-producer and co-writer of the original film, Dan Schneider, who is allegedly a giant creepo piece of shit.
Wow. This is the foot guy, right?
Allegedly, he is really creepy towards children and allegedly features a lot of children's feet in Nickelodeon shows and allegedly has had inappropriate relations with minors and allegedly fuck that guy.
Yeah. Allegedly.
Fuck that guy.
Glad we ended on that.
Yeah. Love it. Love it. Love it.
I just cannot believe that there hasn't been a giant public reckoning. Like, everyone knows.
Maybe
there
will be
man.
A Weinstein for him, right?
They've been trying for years. Mm-hmm. Well, now it's time for us to decide, is this film a pleasure, a guilty pleasure, or just plain guilty? And we're going
to
start with our very own Kelsari
Dari. This is the reason we made this show, Guilty Horrors. We made this show for the cult classic, the feel good, the embarrassed to say you loved it so much, the cackled out loud because it's so fucking stupid, but then genuinely made you giggle ha-ha films. This tapped into everything I missed in sequels that I've hoped for but never received. This gave me the cameos I desired, the moments I wanted, and it knew what it was. It didn't try to be anything more, and the reason why it succeeded and is the number one guilty pleasure of all guiltiest pleasures we've ever done on this show is because they did this for us.
Wow.
Yeah, rest my fucking case. Beat that, suckas.
That was beautiful. And so you think people at home will enjoy?
I think watch this with your fucking friends and family over the holiday break.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, that was lovely and that a great beautiful. Note to end on.
You should have me on the show as a guest.
Don't watch this movie. It's really it's really bad.
It was truly. What are you
done.
Calling it? A guilt?
I didn't enjoy it. I found it painful to watch.
It's like it lives
tough.
In the.
You say it's a guilty pleasure. You know it's a guilty pleasure.
I think it's like a capital hard guilty and a very quiet
little
pleasure.
I didn't.
Yeah,
I had no pleasure. I didn't want to finish it. I wanted to turn the movie off.
He's doing analytical hell speak into the mic. I love it.
I don't want you to think that I recommend it because I don't.
Yeah, are you giving this a full guilt?
I really. Could barely watch it.
Are you giving it a full guilt? Say it, you fucking coward.
Guilt.
No.
Did she throw the cupcake?
Don't throw a cupcake at me. Don't you dare. Don't you dare.
I got
the white shirt.
The cupcake.
Well,
that's
all
the
she wrote.
Off.
That's a great point.
Yeah. It's just gross.
Well.
Well, I've got cake on my face. Oh, God.
You asked for it.
I really did.
Yuck.
Oh, it's one of those, don't throw it, don't throw it.
Don't you push me in the pool.
If you thought that was funny, then you will love a little film called Good Burger 2.
Yeah.
I'm Nick Corndiddy on all the things.
I'm Kelsey Darrow on all the things.
I'm Garrett Bernard on all the things.
And, ooh, I have Kelsey's wallet.
Give
now.
It
That's
to me.
Cool.
Okay.
I'm a dude.
He's a dude.
I'm not going to.
He's a dude.
We're all dudes. Yay. All dudes. Yeah. Excuse you.